Well, I just want to thank you for this time together. And Lord, may you anoint the teaching of your word. May you be our teacher this morning and every single time that we open up the word corporately. May your spirit be poured out upon each one of us. May it be poured out upon myself, Lord. May my lips only speak the word that you desire to give to your people, Lord. And may the people receive it. Receive it directly from you, Lord. May your spirit go and probe their hearts and change their hearts, Lord. May you have your way with each one of us as we open up your word. And so we just ask your blessing upon the teaching this morning over the next 40-45 minutes, and may you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to read the New Testament yourself. And I remember years ago when I first became a Christian and I got my first Bible. It was actually an NIV Bible. It was way back when I was in college, when I was going into my senior year, the summer of my senior year, I remember I was staying there in Isla Vista. I went to UCSB and I was waiting for an intern job. And that intern job didn't come until the fall started. And so I had a lot of time on my hands. So I was thinking, you know what? I think maybe I will try to read the Bible. And lo and behold, a good friend of mine that I was living next door to, she was a Christian, still is a Christian. And lo and behold, it's just kind of a divine appointment. She's walking down El Colegio, right down Isla Vista. And she's walking down, and I see her, and strike up a conversation. I hadn't seen her for a couple years, or you know, off and on, not much. I was lived right next door to her in my sophomore year, so I hadn't really seen her regularly for a while. And so we struck up a conversation, and she bought me my first Bible. And I remember this is what happened as I went to my apartment waiting for this job. You know, I remember I was reading the Bible. I was reading, and I started with the New Testament. Because that's what you start with, the New Testament, reading, you know, just start reading through. And so I started reading the Bible, and I started reading this lineage. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is this? And I kid you not, I don't like to talk about my past so much because it really wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But I would say this. This is what happened. Is I opened it up and I read the first 17 verses, and my friend, he knocked on the door. He says, "Hey, Dave, what are you doing?" This would have been like about maybe 7:30 at night, and I said, "Well, I didn't want to tell him I was reading the Bible." And I said, "Well, I'm just reading." He says, "What are you reading?" And I said, "Well, I'm just reading some stuff." And he says, "Hey, let's go to happy hour." And you know what I did? I closed this book and I went to happy hour. But you know, there are people praying for me, and I know this one lady was praying for me that bought me the Bible. And the Lord worked it out, you know. And now I'm pastoring a church. And so, you know, don't underestimate just humble beginnings, because this is where it starts. And I remember reading this. I didn't even know there was four Gospels, people. I started reading the New Testament, and these were the first verses I read. And so I want to just share that with you, because, you know, there is a lot packed into this lineage. Even though perhaps you're reading the Bible for the first time this morning with us, there's a lot packed in here. There's more than meets the eye. And if you stay with it, if you work through the New Testament with us, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, I guarantee you will be saved. I guarantee you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I guarantee He will change your life if you just stay with it. And so with that, I want to read these 17 verses, and I want to start to peel off the onion and kind of get into why it's so important to have a genealogy. Notice it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, genealogy? Well, it literally means generations, but it can be transliterated if you have like a heading over this section of scripture. It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, or the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we hold to the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. We're going to get into that a little bit this morning. But if Jesus is fully God, how can He have a lineage? Think about it. Well, it's because He's fully man. And so we're going to start to really look at this concept, more than a concept, but at this truth, at this fact that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And that's displayed in the Gospels. the good news, right? The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're going to be in the Gospels for the next 2 years. And it's going to be a wonderful time because it's going to show us through historical accounts who Jesus Christ truly is. There's going to be the teachings for sure. And the teachings are great and powerful. But the testimony of the teachings is this, is Jesus is fully God and fully man. And he has a plan for your life. Okay, so we're going to begin to look at this. Now, let's all stand. We're going to read through all 17 verses. And you're going to pretty much feel like perhaps like how I felt. Maybe, it would have been about 35 years ago. I've been, since I was in college, I mean, I'm pretty old now. But all that to say is that you're going to read these 17 verses and say, oh, what on earth are we studying? Okay, so let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. Right at verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, Amon begot Josiah, and Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. And Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 17. And so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to receive it. Help us to understand it. Help us to realize the message in this gospel. Help us to receive it. Help us to take it in and be changed by it, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Okay, so you read this, you know, and you know, the real goal, I think, try to read this in one breath. Think about it. I mean, man, this thing moves and moves and moves. Now, what is with all these names? Now, we're going to get into it. I'm not going to highlight every name and talk about it, but, you know, one of the things you can do, and this is the beauty of reading the Bible from cover to cover, every single name that's in here in verses 1 through 17 is in your Old Testament. Now, how do you know that? Unless you read your Old Testament. And so it gives us the lineage from a man named Abraham. Notice it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. See, that's the fundamental topic, is Jesus Christ, Messiah. Now, the name Jesus, what does the name Jesus mean? It means God is salvation, or Yahweh saves. Okay? And so we desire what? To be saved. Salvation. We desire to go to heaven. You can be seated, Luis. We desire to go to heaven. How do you go to heaven? You must be saved, right? And so what the Bible declares, especially in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're saved by one way, and that way is Jesus, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God is salvation. If you want to be saved, it has to be through the person of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see this time and time and time again. I believe in the next 2 years or so, as we go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, probably hundreds of times you're going to see this, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Okay? And so right here it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, The name Jesus literally means God is salvation. So in this person, Jesus Christ, you have salvation. God is salvation. Now, the name Christ is not really a name. It's a title. Many of you know this as we've gone through the Bible before, right? Christ is the title. And Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. So you've heard the word Messiah. And it's interesting. Who's waiting for the Messiah? Well, it's Israel. And notice, every name here, right, it really kind of starts to point to Israel. This is a lineage that we see in the Old Testament scriptures. And when you think about it, when you read your Bible in the Old Testament, where does it start to pick up where it describes Israel? It's right there at the man Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So I want you to notice this, that from Genesis chapter 12, what's your first book in your Bible? It's Genesis. So you go 12 chapters in and you see a man named Abram. And you know, from that point on, all the way to Malachi, it's all about Israel. I don't know if you noticed that. And so if we don't understand Israel, we're not going to understand our Bible. Now, I want to mention to you, this is the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. So you go from Genesis 12 all the way to Malachi, which is the last book of your Old Testament, and then you go to the first book of your New Testament, and we see a lineage that is embedded in Israel. And you see all these names, as I mentioned, from Abraham all the way to Messiah Jesus, you can track that from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through the end of your Old Testament. You can track this lineage. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because of this. It says that Jesus, who is fully God, he's fully man, and he had a lineage. He was of the seed of David. Right? And so this lays hold of the doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ. He's fully man and he's fully God. Now, in your bulletin summary, I highlighted some other verses that kind of underscore that. Okay, so notice, if you open up your bulletin with me, and I emailed it out to you, you can actually go to, there's a tab online. If you're watching this online at a website, there's a tab. And I think, what is it, a scripture tab? I forget the name, but there's a scripture. Yeah, it says scripture. You click on that tab, and you can read the bulletin summary with me. The second paragraph, actually, let's read the first paragraph. It says, fully God and fully man, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He has always existed and yet has a genealogy. Now, think about that. Now, you're not going to understand that fully. Fully God means he's always existed. He's eternal, but yet he has a lineage. There's a genealogy. In Revelation, he is unveiled, revealing his deity. We just finished Revelation, remember? Revelation means what? The apocalypse, right? Unveiling, right? And so, in Revelation, he's unveiled in all his glory. But in the Gospels, he is veiled, revealing his humanity. This is the opposite of Revelation. Revelation is the opposite of the Gospels. Jesus is unveiled. Remember Revelation 1? But now he's veiled in the Gospels. The Gospels precede Revelation, of course, right? But then he had to veil his glory to become a man. Okay, so here's some scriptures you want to hold to that speak of his humanity. John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You see, what John is describing there in John chapter 1 verse 14 is Jesus being fully God. He came as a man and he veiled his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld that glory. God became tangible in the person of Jesus Christ. God, fully God, right, became a man. This is Jesus. Jesus is fully God. He became a man. Then also in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 7 says, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of what? Of men. You see, he veiled his glory and he became a man with flesh and bones to live in this fallen world, to experience everything that any man or woman would experience, even death, even sin. The Bible records this, the Gospels, that upon the cross of Calvary, he took upon himself sin, even. So sin and death he even experienced. And so God became tangible to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now here's some scriptures on his deity. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His deity was always God in the beginning. Eternity past. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. One of Paul's letters. In who? In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The deity of Jesus Christ. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. The writer of the Hebrews is quoting Psalm 45 verse 6. Let me read that again. But of the Son, of Jesus, he says, thy throne, O God. Who is he calling God? This is in the Jewish scriptures. The writer of the Hebrews, we don't know who the author is, right? He's quoting Psalm 45 verse 6, which is a Psalm of David. Think about it. He says, of the Son, thy throne, O God. So David, being inspired by the Spirit, is calling who? The Son, God. And Hebrews comments on that. You know, if you study the book of Hebrews, right, it's saying basically the eminence of Jesus Christ, right? And he's saying, he's quoting verse 6 of Psalm 45, and he's commenting on it, and he's saying that even David recognized that the Son is God. Okay, so these are just some scriptures speaking to the person of Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God. But right here, in our section of scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, it gives the actual lineage all the way back from Abraham, taking you through the whole Old Testament and tracking the lineage all the way to this Jesus, God of salvation, who is their Messiah. Now, I want you to note this, that Matthew is oftentimes referred to the gospel to the Jews. It's not that the gospel doesn't go out to all the world. We're Gentiles, at least I am, right? It's going out to me. But really, it's the first gospel that's canon in the scripture. It's not the first gospel in terms of time. Really, the first one in terms of time is the gospel of Luke. It takes us all the way back to the birth of John the Baptist. But here, it's first in your New Testament because it's a bridge, right, to the New Testament, because we have the whole Old Testament. Really, it pertains to Israel, as I mentioned. From Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Malachi, it pertains to Israel. And then right here in Matthew chapter 1, it picks up right the lineage of Israel through Abraham. He's the father of what? The Jewish nation, right? And so that's why it says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And not that you have to do this, but you can. If you go all the way back from Genesis chapter 12, right, and you read alongside that, right, as you're going through the Old Testament, start with Genesis chapter 12, and you go from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, you go all the way to verse 17, you look up all these names, and you can track them, you can find them. Starting at Genesis chapter 12, you can find them in your Old Testament. And you can find the context of all these names, how they lived, what they did. Right? And so we can historically track the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so that makes the Christian faith not only spiritual, but what? Historical. And that's what no other religion really has. I mean, you can talk about all these other religions, right? Buddhism and Hinduism. They really don't have this type of historical account. And so this we can be traced all the way from Genesis, all the way through Malachi, as I said, and then all the way through the New Testament. And you know, I want to note this as well, that even as your Old Testament is primarily Jewish, about the Jewish nation, so is your New Testament. Now, I know there's a time of the church, because the time of the church comes because Israel has rejected Messiah Jesus, but God is not finished with Israel. Now, we study that in depth, in our study of Revelation. Revelation really referred to Israel often, because God is not finished with Israel. But we're now in this time, right, of this pause of the church as Israel has rejected Messiah, and we're going to see that in the Gospels. Jesus came for his own, Israel, but they rejected him. And because they rejected him, we see the birth of the church, referred to as the Gentile church, even though it started in Israel. The church was all Jewish when it started, but it's referred to as a Gentile church because right now we're in this pause with Israel until the church is raptured. And we talked about that in the book of Revelation. But right here in the beginning, right here at the New Testament, we see this lineage, and it's all Jewish. It's all Jewish with a little bit of a, check too with that, because we're going to see references to non-Jews in this lineage. Very interesting, okay? All right, so with that introduction, let's start to read from verse 1. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, Jesus is his name, God of salvation. Christ is his title. Messiah in the Hebrew. It means the anointed one. Israel is still waiting for the Messiah because they rejected Jesus as their Messiah. But we see that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Okay? Now it's interesting. The Jews, Israel, they believe that Christ is a man. Or Messiah is going to be a man. But they don't believe Messiah is going to be God. And that's really the key, right? We see him described in the Gospels here. And also Jesus proclaimed that he is God. And that's really why he went to the cross of Calvary. Remember that account there with the high priest? Right? That's why he put him on the cross. He said he claimed to be God. And so we see Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, but also God. Right? And so it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, so Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now, before I want to talk a little bit about some of these women that are listed in the Bible lineage here. Okay, this woman Tamar. But before we get into that, I want to speak a little bit more about David and Abraham. Okay, so I want you to hold your hand here, and I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 12. I refer to it, but I want you to read these first few chapters of Genesis chapter 12. And this gives you the backdrop of Abraham, how he's called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and how through Abraham he says that all the nations, all the families of the world will be blessed. Okay, so Genesis chapter 12, right at verse 1. This is the first mention of Abraham. It's actually, his name is Abram at this point. As I mentioned, this is where the record of Israel begins. Right here. Notice, right at the beginning. And so in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. What would that be? That would be the promised land, right? The land of Canaan. Now, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now we know that that came to pass, right? He gave Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. He gave him a land. And we see that, how that's fulfilled as they start to enter the land under Joshua. Okay, so this is before that. He's giving Abraham this promise. He says, leave your place now, right, and go to this land, and I'm going to bless you. And we recognize that he did do that by faith. Now notice in verse 3, here's our key verse. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Now, I think this has major overtones throughout history. All those that bless Abraham's descendants are blessed. All those that curse Abraham's descendants are cursed. I believe that has application even to this day. I believe this has application even to today. What's happening? All those that will bless Israel will be blessed, and all those that would curse Israel will be cursed. And notice it says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Abraham. Now, how are all the families of the earth, not just the Jewish family, not just Israel, how are all the families of the earth blessed because of Abraham? Well, I can think of two reasons. The first one is that we have the Word of God. Came through Israel. Most of your writings here, right? I think all of them, just about, are from Israel. And as I mentioned, right, from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Malachi, it's really all about Israel. Because Messiah is going to come through Israel. But then that's the second part, why all the families are blessed. This is the major one, is that it's going to be through Jesus Christ. It's through the nation of Israel that Messiah comes. And that's what we read right here in Matthew chapter 1. It's through the seed of Abraham. Okay, so it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Very important. Now, the son of David, we're going to see that he's all the way referred down in verse 6, but it calls the son of David right here at the outset. Now, why is it listed at the beginning here? Well, as I mentioned, Matthew's the gospel really written for the Jew. When they read the son of David and the son of Abraham, that's going to get their attention. And what Matthew is recording here, he's recording that the lineage to Messiah comes through their two patriarchs, Abraham and David. And so if you talk to any Jew and you mention the name Abraham and David, you're going to get their attention. He's saying Messiah comes through their seed. Now it's interesting, the Davidic covenant as well. The Davidic covenant is listed in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. And a companion reference is in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 11 through 14. It's basically verbatim. One's listed in 1 Chronicles, one is listed in 2 Samuel. I want to take you to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. That's all the way back in your historical books of your Old Testament. And the reason I'm doing this is I'm showing you, and we can do this with every single name in this list, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. But I'm just taking to the highlights, okay? But this is to show you that the lineage is recorded throughout your Old Testament, and it culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where we see the Gospels begin, right here in the New Testament. Okay, so let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. Let's read that. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Right at verse 12. Okay? Now, this is a prophecy by the prophet Nathan given to David, King David. Okay, so he says, when your days are fulfilled, he's speaking to King David, and you rest with your fathers. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. I will set up your seed. Now, what's he referring to? Your descendants. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, this is referring to Solomon specifically. Through Solomon we see, right, the kingly line. But then he's going to go on to say and refer to King Jesus, Messiah. Now he says, he shall build a house for my name. That's what Solomon did. And I will establish his throne. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, how is the throne of Solomon's kingdom forever? We just have been studying the historical accounts in our midweek study, as we've been just finishing Hosea. Hosea prophesied to the northern tribes there. It's during the divided kingdom, right? And during the divided kingdom, divided right after Solomon. But we know what happened in the divided kingdom, right? That they both went into exile. Israel first, and then the southern tribe second, right? And then there really ceased to be a king on the throne. When you think about it, and as you read through Matthew chapter 1, it takes you through the kingly line through the time when they are exiled to Babylon. So even though it goes through the lineage of the kingly line, these guys aren't on the throne, are they? So either there's a great mistake, or I'm not telling the truth here, right? He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There's no king on the throne in Israel anymore, is there? Well, there is. You know who that is? That's King Jesus. You see, this Davidic covenant starts to go from the earthly kings, right, to the King of Kings. And that's what we see in the Gospel of Matthew. It takes us through the lineage, even through the divided kingdom. It hovers down through the southern tribes there, and you can track this all in your Old Testament, but it takes us to King Jesus. And Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in heaven, ruling and reigning spiritually, right? And he will rule and reign when he comes again in the millennial kingdom. And so there is a king forever and ever. That's what's being referred to. Let's keep reading. Verse 14 says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. He's referring to Solomon and Solomon's descendants. Now, verse 15 says, "But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you." Now here's the key verse, verse 16. "And your house," he's speaking to David, "and your kingdom shall be established forever before you." Your throne shall be established forever. You see, this is a reference to King Jesus, that there will be somebody coming out of the seed of David, and he will be on the throne forever. Jesus is on the throne in heaven, ruling and reigning spiritually through the Holy Spirit. He will come again, and he will rule and reign physically forever. Now, we just studied this in Revelation, right? After the millennial kingdom is the eternal state. He is ruling and reigning forever and ever. So this Davidic covenant has literally come to pass. Now, think about this. When you turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, right? And then he now starts to go through the lineage, right, from Abraham. Isaac, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now, I want to highlight this. Tamar, and we're going to see Rahab and Ruth, and we'll see a reference to Solomon's wife Bathsheba. Four women. You think that's odd? You know, that is extremely odd. Because in that day, in the Roman Empire, you weren't to even mention women in any of the writings. And let me just read you, this is a comment. He says, these four women have an important place in the genealogy of Jesus to show that there is a new place for women under the new covenant. In both the pagan and the Jewish culture of that day, men often had little regard for women. In that era, some Jewish men prayed every morning, thanking God that they were not Gentiles, not slaves, or not women. Women were second class. They weren't to be mentioned. Despite that, women were regarded more highly among the Jews than they were among the pagans. And so even though the Jews regarded women a little bit more highly, they were still second class citizens. Now the reason I mark that to you is, what are women doing in the genealogy of Jesus? And so I underscore this because when people say that, you know, Christianity looks down on women, no. Tell them you are absolutely 180 degrees in the wrong direction. Actually, Christianity has lifted up women, and you can look right here. Can you imagine reading this in the time of Jesus? When did Matthew write this? Probably what? In 70, 80? In that time, can you imagine reading this? They say, hey man, why are you listing women in the lineage here? That would never happen. Well, it's recording the fact of the matter. But the thing is the way Jesus treated women, and the way the Gospels bring that to attention, that it lifted up women to a higher level. Now, society took a long time for that to change. But Jesus and Christianity and the Bible, when you really read it for what it says, it really lifted up the stature of women. And this is what David Guzik is highlighting here. And so I want you to note this. And I want you to note also the type of women he mentions. It says, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Who's Tamar? Well, you have to look all the way back to Genesis chapter 38. As I mentioned, you can track all these names in your Old Testament. Genesis 38, that was the account. Remember Judah, one of the 12 tribes, or one of the 12 sons, who became one of the 12 tribes of Israel, but one of the 12 sons of Jacob, Judah. Now, the reason Judah is important, because that's where David comes from the line of the tribe of Judah. And that's where Messiah ends up coming from, is Judah. So the lineage comes through Judah. But remember, how did that lineage perpetuate through Judah? It was through Tamar. Who was Tamar? She was a prostitute. So think about this. Fully God, fully man. And the record is that the lineage goes through a prostitute. Isn't that interesting? Now, how many of here felt like they're a loser before they came to Christ? I look back at my life and I say, loser. All the things I lived for, all the things I did before Christ. And I think oftentimes we look back and go, well, how come the Lord used me? I was such a pagan. I did these awful things. I took advantage of people. I mean, I'm not even going to fill in the blanks. I'm so ashamed. I mean, think about all the things you did. And then you come to know Christ, and man, how can the Lord use me? We read right here that God can take the lowest in society and use them. See, God has a purpose and a plan for you. And it has nothing to do with your past. It has everything to do with your future in Christ. And that's why we preach, because we think the Bible preaches, you never go back to your past. That thing's going to just weigh you down. When you come to Christ, it's always upward and forward, never backwards. If you look backwards, you're going to get depressed. You're going to go backwards. If you look backwards, you're going to go backwards. Where you set your eyes, that's where you'll be. You set your eyes on Jesus. And this is proof right here. Could God do something good and something bad? Well, here's the proof. You know what the good is? It's Jesus. He came out of men and women like me and you. Isn't that radical how God can do that? And I got to tell you, I think only God can do that. Tamar was a harlot. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Now who's Rahab? Have you read your Old Testament? Have you read the book of Joshua? What was Rahab? She was another harlot. And you know what? She was a Canaanite harlot. Think about this. A Canaanite harlot. Now you look at all the battles. It's the Canaanites versus what? The Israelites. Even today. Do you know the lineage of Jesus goes through a Canaanite woman, a harlot at that? Boaz. Have you heard of Boaz? You ever read the book of Ruth? Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. So Boaz was half Canaanite, half Jew. And who did he marry? Ruth. Who's Ruth? Notice, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Who's Ruth? She's a Moabite. So you start to... When you start to kind of carve this out, right? You have a Canaanite harlot joining, right, to a Jewish man. And then Boaz. And then Boaz, so he's Canaanite and Jewish, but he marries a Moabite. And then they have, notice, Ruth, right? It says, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And who's Jesse the father of? King David. Oh my goodness. You know, God is about changing lives. That's what he's about. It's not that all these lives were good. I mean, you study, they're all, I mean, they made some radical mistakes. But God can take something bad and turn it into something good. Can you say amen to that? Praise be to God. Two harlots in the lineage of Jesus. And a Canaanite, unclean. That's the lineage of your Messiah, Jesus. And Jesse. Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, the Moabite, the book of Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. King David, the greatest king of Israel, except for Jesus. Now David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So who's this fourth woman? Her. It would be Bathsheba. So, Messiah also came out of what? Adultery. Think about it. And notice it says, her who had been the wife of Uriah. Why do you think it says it that way, the wife of Uriah? It's because I think it's underscoring the act of adultery. that David committed. Solomon was born out of adultery. And you know the account there, right? Not only did David commit adultery with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba committed adultery with David, but David killed Uriah. I think that's why it's underscored there. You see, man is sinful. Even King David is sinful, but God can take something sinful like me and you and wash us of our sins and turn us around and use your life for good. God can take something so bad like you and turn it into good. Can you say, praise be to God? You see, this is why the record of this genealogy is here. It's giving the record of not perfect men. It's giving the record of sinful men and women. And how God can use His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you and to turn you around and to use you. Verse 7, Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Now, I don't have that with me, but if you've been tracking with our Old Testament study of Hosea, I've been throwing up that chart of the kings in the divided kingdom. Remember the northern tribes and the southern tribes? Well, you can start to track all these kings on the southern tribe there, because that's the kingly line which Matthew records, okay? So all this is in your Old Testament, people. That's why we need to read the Bible. Not just go to a place where they read one verse and then talk about everything else. Why do you think God gave us the whole Bible? Is to skip half of it? It's so that we would read it. And as you read this and how everything connects, all the parts, you see that this is the Word of God. And if this is the Word of God, I need to not only read it and understand, I need to live my life by it. Verse 10, Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. We just studied that in Hosea, right? We're studying that, right? The northern tribes first into Assyria, 140, 150 years later, then the southern tribes into Babylon. We just studied Jeremiah. We just studied Ezekiel. We just studied Daniel when they went into exile, right? This is referring to that. You can connect the dots. It says, and after they were brought to Babylon, verse 12, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. And Achim begot Eliud. Now, these are all listed in 1 and 2 Chronicles in the lineage there. But the interesting thing is, these are less because we see when Israel went into exile, there ceased to be a king on the throne. Okay, so they're now in exile. And so but these are the ones that are still in that lineage of the kingly line to Messiah Jesus. Okay, and it says Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. And so we see the lineage goes to Joseph, the husband of Mary, but it's not the father of Jesus. It's the stepfather of Jesus. Why? Because we're going to see next week that Jesus is born from a virgin. That God is the Father. That the Spirit is going to come upon Mary and she's going to conceive. And so Joseph had no physical relationships with Mary until after Jesus was born. And so she conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's why it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus is born of Mary. But Joseph is not the father. He's not the biological father. He's the stepfather, okay? Now, I want you to notice this, that Matthew records the lineage of Jesus through the kingly line. It goes through all the kings of Judah, the kingly line, okay? Now, we're not going to go there, but you can do this in for extra credit, for homework, okay? You go to Luke chapter 3, you read that lineage. It goes in the opposite direction. It starts all the way from Adam. So it doesn't start from Abraham, it starts from Adam. And it works its way forward, not backwards. Well, it depends on which way you want to call forward and backwards. But it works from Adam all the way, right? And then you see that it ends with Joseph as well. But really, it's the bloodline. And you're going to see when it comes to David, instead of going from David to Nathan, or David to Solomon, excuse me, as it does in Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke, it goes from David to his son Nathan. And so that takes us to the lineage to Mary, the bloodline. And so the names change, right, of David, after David. Solomon is the son of David, but also David had a son named Nathan. And so that's where you're going to see the lineage there. They're different. And we'll get into the reason why a little bit later. Okay? But we see that the line goes through Mary in the Gospel of Luke. And there's a reason why. Okay, that's the bloodline. But this is the royal line. It says that Jesus, he's come to be king. And so he has to become from that royal line. And that's why it's recorded through Joseph. So both Joseph and Mary are descendants of David, but through different sons of David. Because that's why it splits. Okay? But right here it says, Jacob begot Joseph and the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. This gives the ratification that Jesus is king, because he's from the kingly line. And Jesus still is king, thus fulfilling the Davidic covenant, that there will never cease to be someone from your loins as king. And Jesus is king today. Even though he's died, he's risen. He's not dead. He's risen. And he's now king. And he's now in heaven. And he's going to come. He's going to rule and reign as king on the earth in the millennium. But he's king, spiritually king, from heaven. Okay, so the Davidic covenant is fulfilled. Now, let's keep reading here. Verse 17. It says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, from David into the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now, when you actually do an accounting, it's more than 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. I want you to note that. Now, oftentimes in Scripture, it's recorded like that more for memorization purposes. Okay, so it says 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. There are some kings that are skipped in this lineage. But it's just recorded, and I believe Matthew's been inspired to do that so they would more memorize that. It's basically 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations to Messiah. And he gives the 14 generations, right, to the different time frames. One, to the time of, he says, 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the captivity in Babylon, and 14 from the captivity in Babylon to Messiah. It's for memorization purposes. But the point is this, is that the lineage, right, it starts with Abraham right there, and it goes all the way to Messiah, thus fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant, thus fulfilling the Word of God. Okay? And so the fundamental point, though, I think is for us to receive is that this gives the lineage that underscores that Jesus is fully man. He's born. But he's born. He has flesh and bones. And he's come to this earth, right, to become that sin sacrifice for the world. Right? And we noted this, especially in the book of Hebrews, there needed to be a better sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats. Until this time, all through your Old Testament, it's the blood of bulls and goats that can only cover sin. But the blood of Jesus, to remove our sins, has to be a perfect sacrifice. And so Jesus would live a perfect life to become that perfect sacrifice. But what happens to sacrifice? A sacrifice must die. How does a sacrifice die? Well, he must be born. And that's why fully God, he must become fully man, born of a virgin. And so those are the two come together, fully God, fully man. And this is what is really going to be displayed, not only in this gospel, but in the all gospels, that Jesus, the person Jesus Christ, who he is. He came with great teaching, but his teaching is ratified by what he did. He was born, and he died, and he was risen. And during that time he lived a perfect life. His life and his death, they ratify now what he taught. And that's what we're going to see, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew. Okay. So with that, let's close. We'll pray, and then next week we'll pick up at verse 18, the actual birth of Messiah Jesus. Pray, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. May you be glorified in the Gospels here, Lord, as we take it in, as we read it. Help us to gain understanding, but help us to understand the reasons why these things have to come to pass. Help us to be able to connect the dots, to put the pieces together from old to new, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Help us to be able to connect the dots and to come with a better understanding as we study this Gospel of Matthew. The gospel to the Jews, particularly, but it really is a gospel to all the world. All of that we might see that your word has been true and will always be true from beginning to end. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?